This story has been brought to my attention coming out of the United Kingdom. It is in the Guardian newspaper. It says that Alexander Nix, the former chief executive of the elections consultancy Cambridge Analytica, is facing fresh questions about his conduct after a leak of documents revealed he used a highly offensive racial slur to describe the Prime Minister of Barbados, and that is the current Prime Minister of Barbados. The story says that The Guardian has seen an exchange of messages in which Nix appears to refer to Mia Motley, who was elected Prime Minister of Barbados in May, and Senator Lucille Moore, who is the country's information minister, as niggers. The messages are dated October 2010. At the time, it appears that SCL, which is the company related to Cambridge Analytica, was pitching for business with the Barbados Labour Party and had apparently attempted to make contact with Moore and Motley, who was then leader of the opposition. A member of SCL's team wrote to Nix on the 15th of October saying, "I get the distinct impression they don't want to talk to us," to which the SCL elections boss replied, "They just niggers." That's in the Guardian newspaper today. Down to brass tacks. Hello.
Good afternoon, Mr. Ellis.
Yes, welcome.
I would like to report something to Diane Haig. There is a burst pipe down in here for the past 3 months, spilling water all over the place. You report it several times and nobody come to fix it. There was one at the top of the road, and they fixed that one, and the one down to the bottom is still spinning water.
Okay. Where exactly is this?
It's Philistorf Development.
In Grisettes?
In Christchurch.
There's a Philistorf Development in Christchurch, is there?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Well, I hope that she will be able to respond to that concern.
Every time you got to go and wrap paper around it to stop it from wetting you up when you pass the road.
All right, ma'am. Thank you.
All right.
Good. Down to brass tacks. Hello?
It's impossible.
Hello? You're on the air.
Hi, I was just telling you there's an accident between the Graham Hall roundabout and Kendall Hill roundabout. It seems as though a vehicle has turned over.
Okay.
And the road is impassable.
Is it a car or any other type of vehicle? Or another
type? Not quite there yet.
Okay.
But it looks like a SUV or something. It doesn't look like a car.
Okay. Listen.
Okay.
Thanks for alerting us. So it means that if you're going in that direction, you may need to divert, or you may spend a little bit more time on the road there. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Welcome to the program.
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air?
Yeah. The best thing in life is free. And I suggest that they shouldn't pay any taxes because nobody wants to be responsible for anything. So that's the best thing to do. Don't pay nothing. Best thing in life is free, so let everybody live it. So we wouldn't have a country. That's all.
And that's your counter to the people who are complaining about taxation and how challenging it is. I suppose that's what it is then. Down to brass tacks. You're on the air. Hello?
Yes.
Yes, you're on the air.
Good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon.
I'm a bit confused. What month are we in?
This October.
You sure? So election has passed, right?
I think so.
But I mean, when you listen to this program, you would believe we have election next month. Or something like that. I mean, you're being bombarded today by some callers that I don't know. I wonder if they're Barbadians or they're just, I don't know, from some other planet or something. I can't, they got me confused. I don't think we're living in the same Barbados. And I don't think that they're really patriotic. Because when you listen to them, really and truly, you could see why we're in the situation we're in. Because they're the most delusional callers I've heard for a while.
Well, let's get down to some specifics.
Specific?
What is delusional about what they're saying?
How we got here.
Okay.
And the method that most of them are suggesting we should take, or the route we should take, I should say, to get out of it. Because if you sell all the assets you have, or the majority of the assets you have, that wouldn't take care of the problem entirely, eh? I mean, you don't have to be no economist to understand that, right? So their way of thinking somehow, it really got me confused.
I want you to make contact with this particular statement which has been issued by the leader of the opposition. It says, leader of the opposition, Bishop Joseph Atherley, is calling upon government to revisit the matter of its debt exchange regime as it relates to pensioners of an age and means such that it severely erodes and compromises their already challenged standard of living. He is firmly of the view that our economic recovery program cannot simply be about crunching numbers to satisfy IMF criteria. He repeats the opinion expressed on the floor of Parliament that management of our critical process of change and restructure over the next several years cannot only be the responsibility of an economic team, no matter how reputed or respected, but must also include the significant input of those who best understand the implications of the negative fallout in the social sphere as well, and who can best advise on and prescribe for that. He says the plight of pensioners should have been better evaluated and considered when the debt exchange program was being framed. He insisted that their voices must be heard. How do you respond to that?
Well, in hindsight, you will have to more or less, you take a different perspective of the plans you have, okay? And I am in agreement with coming up with some method of shielding the elderly. I'm in total agreement with that. Because, you know, when you look at the time span also, they don't have the lot of time that the younger people would have to sit down and wait to get back their money, okay? So I understand that. However, I think people really don't understand the seriousness and the alternatives. You know, they just have to look at Venezuela, I think, and that would be a good example. If they pay some attention to how things could become, and this government has to take some measures, which wouldn't be popular, but is like you're trying to save your thumb, you might have to take off your index finger. You're trying to save that, you might have to t- take off your little finger, but one of them will, you will suffer the loss of one of your fingers. So in looking to create a buffer now for the retired persons and so on, you know, the next casualty might be jobs.
You surely you surely can expect that coming from what has to be done in the state-owned enterprises.
Right. So if we were looking at maybe, you know, saving, just hypothetical figures, saving 3,000 jobs, you might have to look at more or less only saving 2,000 jobs, because the money has to come from somewhere, right? But in investment, people got to understand, a lot of people, I hear this cry, this human cry for the government to pay people the interest. They don't understand that is a chance there to, don't mind if somebody tell you it's safe. Princess Diane was driving in one of the safest cars you could think about. I mean, it got an accident. What happened? Eh? So when it comes to investment, it's a risk. And I would think if the country is in this dire state, one of the most important things would be, to me, would be getting back the principal. And I would count myself lucky. To be arguing for the interest and seeing the country ready to sink, I don't know. I don't think that the people really understand the seriousness of this situation.
But there are some people who would agree with you that the interest isn't what they should be fighting for, but what they're concerned about that is that even the principal, they won't be able to draw down on that immediately. So they said, look, if you ask me now to take a haircut on the interest, but at least given my circumstances, I should be able to draw down on some of that principal.
And that is why I said they would have to look at a buffer for the retired persons, for the elderly person, because they don't have the time. Okay? But for the younger individuals, I think they would honestly have to make a sacrifice, because in certain circumstances, they might not have gotten any returns at all. They might have even lost their principal amount that they invested. So the country is in a situation where they have to do what they have to do. That is my perspective on it.
Very tough choices.
Very, 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 very tough choices. And we all will have to make a sacrifice. Okay.
And even the pensioners are in different categories. You have, for instance, people who would have invested, let's say, over $500,000 in government paper. And for them, the money goes to give them a particular quality of life. But then there are others for whom that money goes to look after medical care, keeping somebody,
correct,
for instance, who's got Alzheimer's in a private home. It can be costly and things like that. That kind of that money would be very useful to them in those circumstances. Now, are you going to make the call and say, well, in as much as you can get the care at a cheaper rate, then you're gonna need to adjust to suit. Well, that person's relatives and those people who are looking after them may be saying, look, you know, this is gonna be tough for us to adjust to. So there are a lot of variables inside there, you know,
correct,
other than just the people who are at the bottom. These would be people who you would consider to be at the top of the line, so to speak, when it comes to how much money they have had to invest. And you know, the thing about Barbados is that there are many people who will look at them and say, well, they can afford to take a haircut. You know that, right?
But yes, I am aware of that. But it is hard, and I sympathize with, you know, their situations.
But their situation is going to translate into pressure on average people who don't have those investments. In other words, if you were working with somebody who was getting, depending upon that interest, to, let's say, get some additional help around the house and stuff like that, you may be out of a job because of mm-hmm. it. So it, yeah. it can have a trickle-down effect.
You know, as you said earlier, right, this is a period where we're really going to have to be our brother's keeper, and the families would really have to come together to try and survive. You know, it will just have to go in that direction, because where you find individuals were, you know, more or less working for themselves, you're going to find that people will have to come together. Families, I mean, to share your rent.
You see, part of the problem...
Like that. They will have to.
Part of the experience that we have here in Barbados is that we always believe that we have to reinvent the wheel. That countries that have been through tough times, countries near to us, we don't have anything to learn from them, you know, because we are Bajans. We are the ones who can just solve this one all by ourselves. But what? How have others coped? We don't ask those questions, and we perhaps need to. All right?
Okay.
Thank you very much.
You have a good day. Thank you, sir. Bye-bye.
Down to brass tacks. Hello? Sorry to keep you waiting. Hello?
Hello?
You're on the air.
Oh, yes. I have a problem.
What's that?
I was sent home in 2014.
2014.
I took the matter to court.
And?
But the case is not being tried up to now. I was using some funds that I had in the bank to support me. But then, this, because I heard it was a good interest rate, I bought these bonds and I put them there. Instead of, I said I would do that and live on interest payments. Interest was good. But now, with this, my funds are there, and I still have to live. So, what do I do?
What have you thought of doing?
Well, I thought of going to court.
Yeah, but court takes time. Look, the other case hasn't even started yet.
No.
Court takes time.
And it wasn't because of a lack of a judge.
But for whatever reason, it didn't start yet.
No.
In the meantime, life is... What is life like?
I was hearing only today that some countries ask the IMF to allow them to pay interest out of the IMF loan. And I think that was a very good system because, for one, it would save the country from getting a bad name. And also, people would be allowed to get their interest. I mean, the IMF loan, you have to do something with it. You can't just put it there and look at it. So,
you know, there are two legs to this issue here of the default. There's all that you are complaining about as a Barbadian treasury note or treasury bill holder or debenture holder. And then there's still the negotiation that is taking place with the foreign creditors, the likes of which we don't have a good sense of where that is going at the moment.
Yes, but what I'm thinking is that we are looking to invest. We would love people to come here and invest. Mm-hmm. I don't think it is very good for people to know that Barbados is not honoring its commitments, not even to its own citizens, because people are going to say,
not,
if you're not honoring your commitments to your citizens, then why would we think you are going to not level on our funds or things like that, like what happens in some countries?
Well, it's a lot depends upon how you explain it. The government is explaining it from the point of view of insolvency. And in such a situation, you have to make tough choices. That's how they are explaining it. One of the concerns or one of the points that has come to my mind in talking about this, and you can tell me how you respond to it. You began by saying, you know, you invested in the government paper because the interest was so good.
Yeah.
Now, you know, across this country, there's always a debate about why Barbadians don't invest. So if the interest on government paper was so good,
yeah.
On this other side of the coin, don't you think that that was one of the disincentives to Barbadians investing in other things? If you can get such,
well, the thing is,
you get such a guarantee.
Like what? We are not an entrepreneurial people. And with that good interest, that's what you would go for, because it's safe.
But you will never... But
you get it.
That's correct.
You can live on it.
That's correct.
Right.
But you know what? Because mm-hmm. it was that safe, and because it was that good, you're never going to make the effort to look at anything else.
Because you don't have to.
Precisely. So the other side of that now is that we may well be pushed to start looking...
But they've got the money now.
Well,
they have it.
Look, it is not, that's one group of people. Everybody in the same position. There's some people who may well have been on the cusp of trying to get government paper before this thing went down. There's still money out there. There's a lot of money in the commercial banks. And as you see, in some instances, the commercial banks...
If you go to the commercial bank now...
They're just taking your money.
You have to be paying the commercial bank that interest rate.
Precisely. So this is where we are now challenged to come up with ideas. The government is certainly in that position, and we as individuals now have to look and ask questions as to what is happening around us and to what extent we can... invest in other areas rather than just because we don't have that certainty and safety anymore.
The money, you don't understand that.
That is other people. I'm saying other people, is not you. If you can't get your money now, but I'm talking about other people who may have the wherewithal, because you know, you would agree with me that confidence in government paper would have been seriously impacted by what has happened here.
And for years and years coming right down. Because you can understand what it is that somebody has the pensioners' money. The pensioners put their money there as a nest egg. Not only for them, but to come down to through the generations so that, you know, the Bible says the parent has to store up for the children. So that would be a reason why pensioners would have put something there. So that they can live on it when they get ill, and that so they have something left for their children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren coming right down the line.
We understand that, but part of what we have had here is a system that has contributed to that risk-averse nature of the Barbadian, and that's why so much of what we got in this country is owned by people from outside now. You know, because we had that safe place to put the money. And we are now being challenged in that regard. The first myth is that it was not as safe as we thought it was.
But it should have been.
Why?
It should have
but
been.
Can only... If you
have an assurance from the governor of the central bank and from the prime minister... that you should come and invest in government paper. I think that should be honored, because what it means is that the central bank governor would have had inside information, and he, along with the prime minister, I know it wasn't this one, but anyway, the prime minister, they together allowed people to come on in.
We can't let that go on air. But let me.
Sorry.
No, you can't say so. But you look. We could be here with all the certainty and safety that you talk about,
mm-hmm.
and we could have been hit by a major natural disaster. In those circumstances.
But you know we can't insure against major natural disasters.
Yeah, but you can't. But you know what? You have no guarantee that you will get back all that you have invested in anything. There is no certainty about these things. I mean, unfortunately, we have been rocked. Some people's myth has just been rocked about government paper and that sort of thing. Some people may want to take it to court. I wait to see who will test it in court. Of course, you know what happens. You go to court and it takes forever unless they can get some special facility where they can have it heard quickly and that sort of thing. But I understand the concern that you have, and surely there are the way that the Prime Minister spoke about it last night suggests that people have been writing to her, because she said some of the letters that she has received are heartbreaking. You know, and
well, I think mine is a heartbreaking one because, you know,
how it is. Yes, I can understand that. And you're not at a point now where you're going to look for another job.
No.
You know, so.
No.
We can only hope that in an interview with that. Ryan Strawn, he said that the government was going to be looking at other investment opportunities to put before Barbadians as well. Of course, you know how it is. A lot of people do not have a strong degree of confidence in government-owned entities. So I think the best way forward would be for government to be working closely with the private sector. And one would expect that in this environment, this is where we are going, because you want to encourage more private sector investment, and you can't put the money under the mattress, because even if you were mindful of doing it before, when I was here last Friday, they said it got so many chinks under the mattress these days.
I don't think they will eat money.
That they might eat your money.
They only eat human beings.
No, they eat your money. You talk about that. Look, I know of a place where the snails, they actually eat paper. I mean, those African snails that have been around, in a letterbox. If you leave the things in the letterbox for too long, those African snails eat the paper. So, anyhow, thanks for calling.
I had some points to make, though.
Sure.
Or even with investments, even if you want to invest, I find that you no longer have the money. They have it. And what I find is that nobody is talking about government investing. Everybody is consumed with the debt. I don't hear what the government is going to do to invest.
You mean this current government?
Huh?
But I thought that the government made it clear that it needs to create an enabling environment for private sector interests to invest. It's not for the government to be investing. The whole restructuring of this economy is aimed at taking us away from such a heavy reliance on government and to create an environment where more private sector interests, and that we not
I
only look at the traditional
that,
things. Oh, yeah? So how you say it, as a government investing?
Yes.
In what?
I think the government should go in there, find major projects.
And do what?
Should invest in.
But the government hasn't been good at that. There are some
30 people there. Nobody to tell them don't do this, don't do that. They should put heads together.
Well, you need to look more carefully at what is the underlying message about structural change and reform in Barbados and in countries like this. The whole idea is to create an environment where young people and people with money can go there and create their own opportunities. They talk about what's happening with Transport Board, that divestment program is all part of it. Sanitation Service Authority. Ultimately, some people believe that even the airport and the seaport should be seen in that way. So that rather than just hive it off to the people who have all the money, you create opportunities where people like you should be able to invest in these things and get a return on the investment, and that they should be run efficiently. Not the way that some of the state-owned enterprises have been run over the years. Look at some of those in agriculture, for example, that the government has just been pumping money into and have not been able to stand on their feet. All of that is up for grabs now. And these are the areas where you want to get not the government investment financially, but the government's investment in time and technical advice to help people make something of those entities. Gone are the days when you can be so heavily reliant on the government getting involved and then having the whole thing distorted by bringing their politics into the picture, looking after their constituents and bringing them on board and stacking the statutory corporations with their constituents and friends and party supporters and stuff like that. Paying little or no regard whatsoever to efficiency and the waste of taxpayers' money.
I think after time, that would be okay. But right now, to kickstart the economy, I think the government should know exactly what it's going to go in there and invest in tourism, in industry, in agriculture, in manufacturing. And I think that is the way to go.
So you're looking for... You're looking for a stimulus program with the government spearheading that stimulus program.
Yes.
That's what you're saying. Okay, ma'am. Thank you very much for your ideas. Pleasure having you online. Hello? It's 27 minutes after. Well, we didn't realize that the time had flown so quickly. That's it for today's edition, the Monday edition of Down to Brass Tacks. Thanks to Dennis Johnson, who's been my technical operator and my producer. And of course, I want to thank all of you who listened to this program, and those of you who made it so spicy today by calling us and sharing